Thank you, and good morning, and welcome once again to another radio program from the Independence Baptist Church of Forestdale, Missouri. We're glad you're listening this morning, and it is our prayer that you would receive a blessing from hearing another program and a little bit more about the Word of God. We would like to take this opportunity to invite you to come to the church services at the Independence Baptist Church. We have our Sunday school beginning this morning at 10 o'clock with regular classes for all ages. And our preaching service begins this morning at 11 o'clock. And so you're invited to come to both of these services. And we know that you'll receive a blessing from being in the house of God. Our services tonight begin at 4 o'clock with our prayer service. And then at 4:30 for our regular worship service. Our midweek Bible study is on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. So these are our services. And we do invite you to come knowing that when you come, bring your families and your Bibles, that you'll be able to study the Word of God and learn what God expects of us. We have been preaching the past few Sunday mornings concerning the seven sayings of our Savior on the cross. And this morning we're down to saying number seven. That is the very last saying. Jesus Christ, when he was hanging on the cross of Calvary, uttered seven sayings. And we're down to the very last one. This morning we want to look in the book of Luke chapter 23. We'll begin our reading in verse 45 as we study the last saying, the word of contentment that our Savior uttered on the cross. The Bible said in Luke 23 and verse 44, "And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." As we think about our Savior as he was hanging upon the cross, this last saying that he uttered was indeed words of contentment, words of comfort. For you see, Jesus Christ has now accomplished everything that he came into the world to accomplish. It was 4,000 years before Jesus came. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, Jesus Christ was prophesied that he would come into the world. And 4,000 years later, that came to pass just exactly like the Bible had prophesied that it would come to pass. And now Jesus Christ is contented. He has done all of those things that his Father said that he ought to do. All the time that Jesus Christ was upon this earth, there was only one thing that mattered to him, and that was that he would do what his Father told him to do. Do you remember when Jesus was 12 years old that he stayed behind at Jerusalem in his first formal discourse with the religious leaders of that day, when his mother and stepfather missed him as they were traveling back home? They came back to Jerusalem, and there they found him in the temple answering questions and asking questions. When his mother and stepfather came to him and said, "You're worrying us, and we were concerned about your safety," Jesus' reply to them was, "Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" All of Jesus' life was centered around doing his Father's will. While other people were sleeping or where they were eating or trying to fulfill the needs of the body, Jesus was only concerned with doing his Father's will. You know, you and I that are saved today, that should be our concern, is to accomplish the will of God in our lives. We should be content. We should be earnestly desiring and seeking what God's will is for our lives and obeying that will, not just fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind for a season, for those things that we accomplish in this life that's just for the satisfying of the lust and the desires of the flesh. Those things will burn up. Those things will be destroyed and entirely, totally, completely done away with. Only those things that we do for God will last. And my, hasn't Jesus' life lasted a long, long time. It's still lasting. It's still accomplishing those things that God intended for it to accomplish. Jesus did not waste His life. Rather, He spent His life in service, in being in subjection unto His Father, and obeying His Father's will. Jesus was voluntarily obeying His Father. Jesus was not coerced into obeying His Father or forced to obey His will in anything. Jesus Christ was truly the Lamb slain from the foundation of the earth. We'll notice a few examples of how that Jesus Christ so willingly and freely gave Himself for the sins of this world. If you would, look again in the book of John, chapter 18, here in verse 5. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Bible says that the soldiers came to take Him, and they came with lanterns and torches and weapons. In verse 4, Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon Him, went forth and said unto them, "Whom seek ye?" They answered Him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said unto them, "I am He." And Judas also, which betrayed Him, stood with them. And as soon then as He had said unto them, "I am He," they went backward and fell to the ground. Jesus had an opportunity right here to escape. But Jesus was not concerned with escaping the torment that lay ahead of Him. Jesus instead was concerned with fulfilling His Father's will. And so Jesus stayed there while those men helplessly lay upon their back looking at Him. And then they got up and asked again, Jesus asked again, "Whom seek ye?" They said, "Jesus of Nazareth." And then Jesus says, "I'm the one you're looking for. Now let all of My disciples go." And that's exactly what those people did. Those people, the soldiers, came with lanterns and torches and weapons, and they thought in their power the strength to bring Jesus captive and to make Him a slave of their own and to get Jesus' disciples. But none of that happened because the soldiers did exactly as Jesus bade them to do. Notice in John chapter 18 and verse 13 that the soldiers did not force Jesus to leave. Instead, Jesus voluntarily was led as a lamb to the slaughter in John 18 and verse 13 or verse 12. Then the band and the captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound Him. Oh, they tied Him up. And then the Bible said, and they led Him away to Annas first. Oh, they didn't force Jesus to go, but Jesus indeed was as a lamb that was led to the slaughter. Jesus went willingly and voluntarily. Notice again that there was a trial that Jesus was involved in. You know, the Pharisees were nothing but a bunch of hypocrites, but they didn't want to publicly crucify Jesus Christ with at least a form of a mock trial. And so here, they broke every rule concerning a trial that they could break, and they tried Jesus Christ at night. But notice that they also brought witnesses against our Savior, Jesus Christ. In the book of Mark chapter 14, the Bible said in verse 55, and the chief priest and all the council sought for witness against Jesus to put Him to death, and found none. Why, they were looking for people to witness against Jesus Christ, but they couldn't find anybody. And so notice in verse 56, for many bear false witness against Him, but their witnesses agreed not together. And so here came a bunch of liars to the stand, and they began to say, well, we know this and we know that, but the witnesses didn't even agree one with another about what was going on. And then in verse 57, and there arose certain and bare false witness against Jesus, saying, we heard Him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands. And of course, Jesus was not talking there about the temple made of stone. He was talking about the temple of his body. But they misunderstood what he was saying. So neither did their witnesses agree together. And so what has happened here is that Jesus has been led away to be crucified. He is a voluntary witness. He's against himself even, because no other witness would stand against him. Notice in Mark chapter 14, beginning in verse 60, the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, "Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee?" But Jesus held his peace and answered nothing. Again the high priest asked him and said unto him, "Art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?" And Jesus said, "I am. And ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest rent his clothes and said, "What need have we any further of witnesses? Ye have heard the blasphemy. What think ye?" And they all condemned him to be guilty of death. And here you find that Jesus Christ was the one that brought the witness against himself. Oh, these three things are very evident here. Number one is that Jesus could have escaped when the soldiers came and fell down backward, but he didn't. Number two is that Jesus Christ was led away captive. They didn't force him to go. And then here at this mock trial that the Pharisees held, it was the witness of Jesus himself that caused these people to believe that they had the right to crucify him. But notice that Jesus Christ was not powerless at all as he was there in that mock trial, or any time at all. If you would, look in the book of Matthew chapter 23 at a very remarkable incident that happened. You know, you remember the time when Peter drew a sword and he cut off the high priest's servant's ear, and he was determined that he would take care of Jesus Christ, that he would not be led away captive. And yet Jesus said in verse 52 to Peter, "Put up again thy sword into its place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword." Now notice here what Jesus Christ says as he describes the power that he has, even though he's in the hands of these wicked men. Jesus is not without strength. He's not without power. He has the ability at his very lips to destroy all of those that hold him captive. Matthew 26 and verse 53, Jesus says, "Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the Scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be?" Jesus said, "I have the power to call these 12 legions of angels down to destroy these people that think they hold me captive. But if I did that, the Scriptures would not be fulfilled." Jesus was willing to undergo all of this suffering that the Scriptures might be fulfilled. What could these, if there was only 12 legions of angels, what could they possibly do? If you'll read, you'll find that a legion of angels is between 5,000 and 6,000 angels. 12 legions of angels means that Jesus would have at his disposal between 60,000 and 72,000 angels. Further reading in the Scriptures will show us, if you'll read in the book of 2 Samuel 24 and verse 15, that there was one angel that killed 70,000 Israelites in 3 days. That's 972 Israelites per hour, or one Israelite dying every 3.7 seconds. 12 legions of angels. If there were 60,000 angels that came, they would be able to kill 4,200,000,000 people in 3 days. That means that in every hour there would be 58,320,000 people die. That's 16,200 a second. The angels could do something But Jesus willingly, voluntarily died on the cross of Calvary for the sins of the world. We see that our time has gone away from us again today. We do want to take this opportunity to invite you again to come to the services at the Independence Baptist Church and listen again next Sunday morning for a continuation of this message. Thank you now for listening.